We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in Big Ten.
Final four! I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh and Johnny. And we have so much to talk about this afternoon, gentlemen, after Illinois gets back on the right track, 95-85. I mean, there's so much we have to talk about here. We can start very broadly. 1,000 Big Ten wins for the program, 5 years in a row of 20 wins for Coach Brad Underwood. We'll get into the individual performances tonight. But finally, back on track after a challenging afternoon on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, one thing about this team is they have not lost two games all season, so it was good to see them bounce back.
Keyword there, keyword that you missed in a row.
Yeah. Did I just say they haven't lost two games? But yeah, they have not lost two games in a row all season. But it was nice to get back on track. It was a clunky game. Brad Underwood contributed to that with his substitution methods. But it was one of those games where he's just like trying to figure out what pieces work together. And it involved Nico Moretti coming out of his web there. That was fun.
All together now.
Oh, Nico Moretti.
Oh, Nico Moretti.
Natural. It just kind of came up very...
We weren't planning that whatsoever.
Ebbed so nicely. Yeah, I mean, I want to talk about the whole let's substitute five guys thing. Like, is that an emotional, vindictive thing? Is that a basketball strategy thing? Because I'm guessing that Underwood is not immune to letting emotion maybe sometimes dictate decisions within substitution. Is that a good idea or not? I don't know. It ended up being a good idea with Moretti, but I think was that the start of the second half where you had five subs in. It was like, all right, can we get a little bit of a shift change here? And it's like, is he just doing that to prove some sort of point?
It definitely seemed like he was trying to prove a point. Like, I imagine it was something that he said at halftime where he's like, if you don't want to play, I'll take you all out. Starters, I'll take all of you guys out. And then, like, stupid, like, I think there might have been a ball on the floor that no one dove for, and then it ended up being a foul, and Brad's like, all right, you guys are out of here. So,
yeah,
I imagine it was 100% to send a message.
I don't have the stats behind it, but I think teams that do line changes, this is my internal stats, like teams that do line changes at some point during the game because the coach is so upset probably have lost 90% of their games is my guess. But yeah,
well,
that was
playing poorly. It's like they're already playing poorly.
Right.
So it's like
that factors into the stat. But yeah,
it's not a correlation, though. It's not
correct.
Causation.
Correct. But yeah, no, it was something else. He obviously needed to get the emotion back into it. And I was the one throughout the entire season where Johnny's like, no, let's keep this rotation tight. And we'll talk Johnny's takes from Wednesday, how Johnny's players have played on Wednesday and today. But like, I've been the guy, get these guys in, because they do provide like this spurt. They provide like the energy that is needed in times when the starters or the seven players who are playing aren't providing that energy that is needed to win basketball games. And like, you would want those seven to do it, and they typically do, are the best ones on the court. But like, even if the matchups aren't in our favor, get them in because they do provide it. Now, five at a time, I don't want to do that again. The game didn't change, like the points like didn't change that much. Like, I think it was a 4-point game when they all came in, and it stayed that like a 6-point game when they left. But like, we don't need to do that again.
The concept of yelling in sports is so fascinating to me in like college athletics. Like, imagine if we did that in other areas. Like, imagine
like
if like
jobs.
Or even like the math club. Imagine like the head professor of the math club just like chewed out his roster when they weren't doing like integrals correctly. It's such a fascinating concept that only exists in like sports. Like, imagine if that just existed in other areas in the world, in life.
Yeah, it would be crazy. I feel like in some ways your like motor is not really a thing in math and doing integrals, you know? So like Dad maybe is questioning the motor and the effort in a way that a math coach might not. But yeah,
There's
it was
not
something. But yeah.
typically 16,000 people in the stadium cheering you on in a math club.
You've never watched the Excel Championships before? You
I
never
never
watched?
watched Excel Championships. The spelling bee does get a good crowd.
Oh my God, have you seen that's sick. When they win the spelling bee and the confetti comes out, that's awesome. I don't know. I just think it's such like a fascinating concept. You're right. Obviously, like in a space like competitive athletics where there's a lot of energy and effort on the line, you gotta get your dudes going a little bit. So I just think it's such a fascinating concept. But yeah, I think emotion definitely took a little bit of play there with Brad, especially we'll go back to the last game where, Justin Harbin had a very challenging game on the defensive end against Penn State, and that probably played in a little bit to why Brad did not play him until a couple minutes left in the first half. But he had a really wonderful game in the end. But again, is that emotion? Is that X's and O's? I don't know.
But like Josh, your point, Nico really stepped up and had not played a ton. The rest of the bench was okay. Like Dane looked good at certain times, other times did not. A win is a win.
Yeah, and we haven't said it, but I mean, what a bounce back from Coleman. Coleman obviously did not close the game the best way that you could possibly close a game on Wednesday night, and puts up a 30 burger tonight. Like that is it's very intriguing based on the way that he is on social media that he was able to, and he said in his post game, like delete his apps, get the right mindset. And from the start of the game, it looked like, and we commented about it at our favorite bar, Finley Dunn's, that he looked like in like extremely into the game. Like he, it was ex like an intensity that we haven't seen from him. And he was locked in. I think in the first half, he was like 3 for 4 from three, needed that. And for the most part, I mean, like it's Iowa. They're notoriously good at offense. He was able to just keep Owen Freeman, who is going to be like Big Ten freshman of the year.
0-1 against he's 0-1 against Illinois.
0-1 against Illinois, but he's going to be Big Ten freshman year. And he, for the most part, kept him in check, which was great. So, I mean, that's a combination between us having to play a bigger lineup because of their tall guys. But what a bounce back from Coleman.
Yeah, I cannot imagine the intestinal fortitude that it must take to with 2024 and the amount of social media that's out there and probably the amount of people that are, in these college athletes' ears when they play well, when they don't play well, to have such a challenging game on Wednesday and then come back and have legitimately the best, arguably the best game of your career from an offensive end. Like, that's just such a cool thing to be able to do as a Division I athlete is have such a terrible game and then bounce back. I think the average person would just crumble, would just fold. But I think that speaks a lot to Coleman's ability to just stay the course. He's been here for many years. This is not the first time he's lost a game. Like everyone just, to quote my favorite quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, RELAX, he maybe pulled one of those, just chill out, and he puts up 30 plus. So that was cool to see. Brad said, like, I'm so proud of Coleman, and you just know that he truly meant it when he said that, of like, I'm just proud of my guy to have such a comeback game like that. But the amount of intestinal fortitude that must take to come back and just have a career game. Props to Mr. Hawkins.
Yeah, I'm very proud and happy for him. Like, I don't know about you guys. My Thursday was fucking terrible. And like
Awful.
I was pretty depressed all day. And Coleman was like, you know what, I'm just going back to work. And he looked really locked in today. And a lot of, I don't know, it says something to be able to immediately bounce back with your potentially best game of the season. So same thing, Justin Harmon, like back cut galore game before. But today, once again, just locked in.
I felt bad for Justin on Wednesday. I
Yeah.
like, yeah, I felt bad. Like it after once or twice, it was just like, oi, Justin, like just, oh my guy. Like he just kept getting beat on the baseline there and getting back cut. And I know Brad was getting so pissed. We'll talk about Wednesday. Let's keep the vibes going good. Justin played very nicely. Let's keep the vibes high here. As Johnny exited the podcast here, the
Yeah,
vibes
he's
were
still
so high.
depressed, it looks.
The vibes were so high, and we brought the vibes a little bit down lower when we started talking about Wednesday that he just exited the podcast here. So, I mean, do you want to talk about, oh, well, I was gonna, when Johnny's back, I was gonna talk about something that I didn't want Johnny to hear, and that was, if you're watching the game, of course, we weren't exactly able to watch the first minute or so of the game due to the end of the, was it Penn State, Indiana?
Yeah.
And you would have thought that Johnny was like, that someone gave him like the winning lottery numbers and he forgot to go buy a ticket or something, the way in which he was responding, reacting right there. Like, I mean, you
What
can
I
just
think.
never question this man's intensity and loyalty to not missing a single second. I don't want to miss a single second either, but like, there's nothing you can do in that moment. Like, they will cut in the next minute. Like, there is nothing that we can do.
There
It
has to
was
be like.
ridiculous though. We saw like 14 handshakes from Mike Rhodes. Like, did we need to see every single one? And like, the game was a 9-point game. It was over with. And we've already seen some of the game, and then they pan out. And like, we missed. It went from 3-0 that we could see halfway to 10-10. So
Five
we
five,
missed,
five
or
five,
5-5-5.
five
Five, five.
five.
So we missed
A
seven point,
minute. One
or no.
minute. We missed 1 minute of the game, in which we were also able to check on our phone the who scored those extra 5 points.
Yeah, we shouldn't have even watched the game. We should have just checked the score on our phones for
Well,
this
I'm just
game,
saying that.
right?
I'm not saying that. I'm
Yeah.
just saying it was just the first minute. You know, I will say, John, usually that doesn't happen. Usually they do wait to tip off, so I understand the frustration. I completely understand. Usually when they say, oh, 115 tip, it's actually a 122 tip. They have like that built-in 7 to 10 minutes. But it was all right. Don't worry. When there's like a what an 45-minute gap between the final four games, so we don't have to worry about that if we're in the second final four game, I don't
Yeah,
think.
not worried about that. Well, and it's on the same floor, so
I think that
we
was
would
the
just have
joke
to
he was
wait
trying to make.
anyways.
No, actually, now looking at Maddie's face, he forgot about that.
Well, you know what? It's been a minute since my team's ever been in the final four, so I'm just trying to bring some levity after Johnny almost punched someone at the bar for missing the first 55 seconds of the game. All right, let's talk about let's talk. Should we talk about Nico? I know everyone's gonna want to talk about Nico. We'll talk about Nico for a couple minutes here too. He hadn't taken a shot in a month, right? I mean, where do we even want to start with Nico? Like,
Well, Johnny does not want to talk about Nico
Johnny really does
today.
not want to talk about Nico. He's in, he's out of the podcast, you know. He might have to make some big decisions about his decision to stay a part of the podcast here this year. Oh, he's back again, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny is back. Johnny,
Nico
you
is
don't want to talk
awesome.
about you don't want to talk about Nico, Johnny? You want to talk about Nico?
He couldn't hear you until now because he's connected to audio. But Nico is awesome. I mean, he was obviously the best player when that new group came in. Imani played great as well, but he kept what was really awesome to see from him. He made two huge threes, got to the free throw line a couple times, but what was awesome is that he just went right back to defense and was locked in the entire time. It was awesome. He was so like level-headed and calm during his minutes, and like obviously this is the first time probably he's played more than 10 meaningful minutes and he in a game. I would even say 5 meaningful minutes for him. And it was something that gives hope for next year. Let's say that. There are times still that I'm like, I don't know if I want him in the game. But I mean, maybe it's a stepping stone where he could get more minutes throughout the game. What was interesting is how it did take away from Ty's minutes. But like, if you try to think about like what the advantages of having Ty versus Nico in, Nico handles the ball much better than Ty. And maybe that's just what Brad, after seeing the last few games on how we've closed out games, he needed someone who he can trust with the ball in his hands.
The downside is the rebounding, though, which
Correct.
there were one or two, you know, in the last minute and a half where you're like, oh man, maybe if we had a little bit more height in the ball game there, you know, you
You sound
have
like
we
Tony Romo saying,
oh,
yeah.
I don't know, Jim, if we had maybe had a little bit more height in the game with Ty. Because you all know that watching Ty get offensive rebounds is like my favorite thing about watching Illinois basketball, and I'm like not being sarcastic at all. So that is the downside, but it was pretty cool to have and Nico, not just him, but also Imani, right? Does this now open the door for more Imani minutes down the stretch? Does it potentially close the door on some more Dane minutes? Again, we're not Dane haters, but does this potentially close the door on some Dane minutes who struggled a little bit, you know, within 3 feet of the basket today, did Dane? But does this open the door? Does this open your rotation a little bit down the stretch? Usually in the past with Underwood, it's the rotation tightens down the stretch. I can't remember a year where the rotation maybe can expand as we get down the stretch. to me, that feels rare with Underwood ball.
Yeah, that definitely feels like it always tightens. And Josh, I agree with you. I think that like the biggest takeaway is probably not like we're probably not going to see 17 minutes a game from Nico Moretti, but like, can he be a quality Big Ten player moving forward, a rotation piece? Like, he potentially proved that tonight. Like, I think Iowa is a team that we have to remember who we were playing. Like, they're not the most athletic team, and that the way that they play too with two bigs, like, kind of just changes maybe what your philosophy is with your personnel. So I don't know if we can read too much into how this is going to look against Purdue or how this is going to look against Wisconsin. But it's nice to see those guys step up and have their moment. Like, it kind of reminds me of the Brandon Pajimski game against Northwestern a couple of years ago, where it's like Brad just decided this is the game that he was going to play pods, and he hit a big three down the stretch, and we kind of pulled that game out on the road. And you look over the course of a Big Ten season, like, there's going to be just games where random guys stepped up, and today it was Nico. Today it was like weird. It's weird that like Nico and Amani combined for like significantly more minutes than like Ty Rogers and Luke Giddey, who've been playing all season. So right. The only guy who really didn't check in was DGL, but that's okay. That was a decision made by Brad and got the job done.
Right. It's almost a guarantee that barring some insane foul trouble or heaven forbid injuries, that Nico will not play 17 minutes in a ball game. Right. I mean, you could almost say maybe this is completely ridiculous, and I hope I'm wrong, but that over under does he play 17 more minutes the rest of the regular season, right? That might be like a pretty darn good over under. I don't know. He's probably not playing much against Purdue or Wisconsin. I hope we get some nice minutes against Minnesota. Hopefully up at like 25.
You're treating Minnesota like they're bad.
I am treating Minnesota like they're bad. I'm treating Minnesota of like the last 2 years, even though that's like not where they are this year. But I am treating Minnesota as if they were like the Minnesota of the last couple of years. But I he's not going to play 17 minutes. But in a night, like you said, Johnny, where your two best scorers, TSJ and Damask, like just have an off night for someone else to pick up the slack. That. Yeah. That's all you can ask for right there. Like, how cool as a fan is that of, like, TSJ is coming off a career game. Did not have a career game today, but still played fine. Damask had a fine game. But for someone else to step up, for multiple guys to step up, that's fun. That's the mark of a good basketball team, for dudes to step up and to – what's the word? What do they call it when you have a bad game and then you have a good game? When you
rebound,
bounce back. Rebound, bounce back. Holy shit, I literally had the biggest brain fart ever there. You bounce back, right? That is the mark of a good basketball team, your ability to bounce back.
100%. And I'm excited, though, to see is, like, we play Iowa again. Maybe Nico plays again in that one, given that matchup. But, Josh, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was going to change the subject just a tiny bit. So if you wanted to finish your comment there, go for it.
Change the subject.
Okay. I have a game to play. How many tweets in a row about fouls do you think is too many?
Yeah.
Rent free, boys. Rent free.
No, in a row. Like, if you have, like, 5, 6, 7, like, seven tweets in a row could be a lot of tweets in a row about bad fouls.
It must. This just must be some, like, random fan that's
some
tweeting.
Some fan account, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
is this just some fan account?
No, like, well, yes, it is actually a fan account. It is a it is a journalist, actually, but he's a fan.
Is that
Robert?
No, he actually announces that he's a fan and like proclaims, okay, "Hi, I am a fan," and uses "we" and "I" and "us" in his vocabulary. It's not someone who would do that because he claims to be a journalist. Like, journalists wouldn't do that. Like.
Got it.
Unbiased journalist.
What team does he support?
Well, he's supposed to be covering Iowa.
He is covering Iowa.
Is he covering?
He what do you? It's just ridiculous that we had him on the show and you guys are. He lives this rent free in your guys' head for this long. Like,
we lost that argument. That's the issue.
But yes, our good friend David Eicholt has decided to tweet. Would you say seven straight times about the ref?
In some way or form, it is a There are seven straight tweets about refs.
That's
were
crazy.
Were they even? There was one or two bad calls. There was one crappy call that the Iowa guy fouled Illinois, that it was not a foul. But like, were the refs a considerable issue in tonight's game?
It was 21-17 in personal fouls called against each other. There were 42 second half free throws, which like is not that much fun to watch. But no. Like that's a fair point. But refs are not good just in general. And like if you're gonna complain each and every day about it, which I do, we do as a podcast, that's fine. But as an unbiased journalist, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, maybe, agreed.
Maybe he's not unbiased.
Oh, he's probably biased. That's probably right. Would you say sorry, boys. Haters? Never mind.
Rent free, boys. You don't gotta pay this month's rent. You just make a check right out to Mr. David.
He has 3 minutes on our podcast.
I did love the ball don't lie though, where there was one clear, really bad call for us against Iowa where the ball went out of bounds off of them and they said Iowa basketball. And then they immediately inbounded it, Coleman Steele, and we got a bucket out of it. Just like, hey, that's what happens when you don't complain about the refs. But
did you guys know that the ball has never lied? The ball has literally never lied ever.
It has. It did a couple times today.
That's true. It did a couple times on Wednesday as well. But it evened out. It evened out after today. I mean, would you guys say that, like, you feel, like, fully better? Because I wouldn't say I feel fully, like, better.
No, Wednesday. That was a crippling loss on Wednesday. Like, that was so bad.
I mean,
like,
it was historic. I mean, we could beat around the bush. Exactly, it was a historic crumble, right? Like, we can call it what it is, or we can be blunt about it. Like,
yeah, you were up 7 with 40 seconds left, and you lost the game. Like, it was awful. And just so many things had to go wrong, and all of them went wrong. And, like Coleman Hawkins is an 80% free throw shooter. And like, I don't know if there's a single time this year other than that specific time where he missed both free throws. Like then you have a 73% free throw shooter who goes in and makes all three. And then you have a shot for Justin Harmon to make a layup and he misses it. Like there were so many things that needed to go wrong that did go wrong. And even other points of the game where it's like, we just, so close to put the game away. Open three for Goody in the corner, misses it. Like, just like a tough contested three that they made with a minute left. Like, it was really bad, and it was like you don't just get over those losses, especially like we're potentially competing for Big Ten championship here, and like you now need Purdue to lose, and you need to win out to even consider like. We need Purdue to lose a different game, and we need to win out. And the odds of both of those happening are kind of low now. So it was tough.
Yeah, it's one where you just, like, avoid all social media for at least a day.
Until tip-off today.
Until tip-off today. I did not think about or look at any Illini takes until today. Could not even check the boards, which is usually my go-to. Everyone just had to be depressed. And there are probably some outlandish takes of just like Underwood can't do this, Underwood can't do that. But you can't look at those because it is technically just one game, which was an awful game, but just one game in the course of a season where we're now at 20 wins for the fifth straight season in a row. And we are still probably right now slotting into either that 4 or 5 seed, which
five, you think we felt? I mean, we were DeCourcy had us at a 4 going into today.
I know, but like, if like Johnny just said, it's like rare for us, it's probably not going to happen where we're going to win out. So, like, there's another loss coming most likely this season. Hopefully, it's not to Purdue. Hopefully, it's not a loss, but like, there's another loss coming. If we win out, then we're probably a 3. If we stay the course of winning 3 out of every 4 or 3 of our remaining 4, then we're probably around 4.
Yeah, which is why I was just going back to what you're saying about it was just a historic collapse. Not that I want to keep harping on this. When we were up 9 today with a minute left, I just kind of looked around and I said, anyone feel a little more anxious than they normally would when you're up 9 with a minute left? Feel a little bit more tense, a little bit more tight than usual. Usually, well, yeah. I would be like, drive home safe. I didn't even hear a drive home safely beep beep from Johnny today. That's how you know that, you know, you're still kind of clenched from Wednesday night.
There are no, I forgot what I was going to say. Like, we are going to have to deal with thinking that we're not going to win. There was three times, actually, I remember what I was saying. There were three times, even during today's game, it's like Marcus throwing the ball, trying to get it to Justin while we were trying to inbound the ball. And then, I mean, we couldn't grab a rebound, like, with a minute left, obviously, because we had Nico in over Ty. And then kind of going all the way back to the first half. But, like, that inbounds play that Iowa had, in which they score with it, like, with 1 second left. That never happens in a game, but nope, it happens to us. So, like, we can never, like, sustain a run or, like, even feel confident with a 9-point lead.
Well, they made it work tonight. Why don't we take a little commercial break here? And then when we get back from commercial, we're going to welcome on Tyler to the show. It has been way too long since we welcomed Tyler on. He was covering the game, so he's planning on actually joining us in the car on his way back from Iowa. So you know who sponsors us, though. You've been listening all year. You know it's Findlay Dunn's. It was a rocking crowd. I love when they do the bell after we win, you know, when they ring the bell and everyone starts going crazy and they chant ILL, I&I. That's my favorite part. We got one more of these Saturday day games next week against Wisconsin. You bet your butt that the three of us are going to be there next week. So again, if you live in Chicago, come on down, come say hey. It's been a great time this season. So yeah, why don't we pause right here, and in a moment we will welcome on Tyler. All right, we are back, and we're welcome with a special guest here. We are with we're with Tyler. Tyler, where are you joining us from right now? Where are you?
Joining us from I-57, north of Shannon, just about the Market Street exit, on my way home. Sun is shining. Standing on an Illini victory, so that makes for a happy drive home.
Thank you for joining us. Yes, there's no better drive home than the drive after a win. There's so much to talk about from this game, and honestly, in general, just because it's been so long since we caught up with you. First question, though, very important question. The cameras caught you smiling. It was inside, I think, of 10 minutes when Nico was shooting those free throws. You were, whoever you're sitting next to, you were having a little conversation. You were smiling. You were laughing about something. Care to share what you were laughing about? Did you kind of know the script for the rest of the game, and you knew that we were about to win, or what was so funny?
No, I don't remember the exact conversation. It was with Joey Wagner from Illini Choir. He was sitting next to me, and I had meant when the Nico's shot went up, I said nope, long, and he nailed it. So then he was teasing me because I called the free throw long. So that was the
love it.
Of that.
I love it. I love how you actually remembered that moment right there. That's amazing. Yeah. Yes. You looked great on TV though, Tyler. So awesome. So thanks for being here. So yeah, I guess just where do we even start? We kind of talked a little bit before you got here, but just kind of give us your courtside perspective of what went down this afternoon and what you want to pick out.
Well, I think the obvious place to go, and I apologize if you guys have already covered this, is the defense. I mean, it's been a disaster for the better part of five or six games now. And the second half defense is something that you can build on. I mean, that offense is just ridiculous. I mean, we just put up 95 points on the regular these days. And if you have even a functional defense, then you're going to put yourself in every game. And that in the second half was a functional defense. Iowa shot, 35% from the floor in the second half compared to 60-something in the first half. Some of that's regression. I think that they made a lot of tough shots. But I think, you know, from a defensive perspective, Brad did make a couple tweaks. I mean, we didn't switch at all in defense today to avoid those. I know every fan gets frustrated when we're switching everything and then the opponent ends up with their best ball handler against Blue Goody or Michael Gomask or somebody. But a lot of fighting over screens today, which helps Coleman in the drop coverage. And I think it made a difference. Iowa made some tough twos, but they didn't get a lot of points at the rim, which has been a problem of late. So good to see.
Interesting you pointed that out, because we were talking, obviously, about the amazing play of Nico before he joined it, before you joined in. And like, we took out Ty for Nico for the second majority of the second half. And like, Nico isn't known to be a good defender. We lose height, we lose our rebounding ability, but maybe his energy was sparking some type of like on those screens. I know I noticed it on Terrence for a while. He was like going extremely hard, trying to beat every single one of those screens. But do you think that Nico actually played a good defensive game from what you saw?
He did. And Brad Underwood specifically pointed that out in the post game. I asked him, you know, I understand the whole line change mindset. You know, you're pissed and you're trying to motivate your starters. So you go with the line change and you run with them for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and you put your guys back in. But Brad stuck with Nico in crunch time, like you said, in favor of Ty Rogers. And I asked him about that. You know, what did you specifically see from Nico that gave you the confidence to trust him late like that? And he mentioned his defense that, he got called for a couple of fouls and he didn't think were fouls. But, you know, for what they were doing, Nico was getting over the screens and they were trying to post him and he still was standing strong. And so, yeah, I think Underwood was really happy with the whole Nico Moretti experience today.
Was that his plan to play Nico extended minutes, or was that just a product of, again, we got to get someone in to motivate our guys. We'll do the whole shift change. Oh, Nico's already playing well. We'll just keep him in. Because we were talking about, we don't know if he played 17 minutes tonight, but we don't know. Does he play a total of 17 minutes over down the stretch in Big Ten play?
I mean, someone asked that of Brad in the post game too. And he said, it was really today specific, but of course, you know, you'd like to think that that's an option moving forward. But, you know, Ty Rogers, when he's not a factor offensively, then it's tough to put him out there. That's really getting into the weeds of the lineup situation for us down the stretch over the last several games. Because, all right, do you go with Ty Rogers, who's, you know, going to be a plus on the defensive end, but he limits your spacing on offense. And so then when you put Luke in or whoever instead, then the opposite is true. So, but with Nico, it's kind of a different wrinkle altogether. So, you know, yeah, it's probably Iowa specific. There's matchups that Nico can handle that, you know, he may not be, you know, against Purdue or I forget who was Wisconsin's probably going to provide some opportunities for him to play if the situation allows it. But yeah, I think it's just going to be one of those things where, it's a spur of the moment decision. I think you're going to see that moving forward.
I liked it. I thought it was fun. And I'm sure everyone thought it was a blast, but yeah, I think we probably have to pump the brakes a little bit on Moretti being like, you know, sixth man, first guy off the bench playing 20 minutes a game, at least for the rest of this year. But the fact that he's giving you flashes, I think is absolutely exciting for moving forward.
For the games that you've been to this year.
Wait,
quick question, Tyler. For those games that you've been to this year,
yep.
We were talking over each other. It's all good. Was the Moretti second three probably the loudest crowd pop that you heard?
Yeah, without question. I mean, I turned to somebody and said we did not have Nico Moretti giving Illinois the lead late in the second half on his second three-pointer of the season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was great. But the funny thing was, I was going to mention earlier, when Brad was going through his hockey lineup change, he was just mad as all get out. He was just running up and down the bench, raising his hands up in the air. You knew he was doing a line change. And you saw him point like four guys in a row. And to some of us on press row, we're like, I don't think he only picked Nico because Nico was right standing in front of him. He's like, okay, I need a fifth guy. Nico, you go. I think if Dre Lauher would have been the closest, he probably would have gone with Dre, but it just seemed almost like random. He was just trying to find anybody off the bench to go in. So, I mean, I don't know if that's exactly true, but it just looked like he was just randomly throwing guys out there because he was so angry at the starters.
That's hilarious. I feel like you can kind of tell how angry Brad is, obviously by how loud he is, but also by how hard he grabs guys on the bench. Because sometimes he will just give the light tug. Sometimes he'll just point and say, go get so-and-so. But sometimes he will literally like pull the guy up. And like, he didn't do anything wrong. The guy on the court messed up or didn't get a rebound or didn't box out. He will like grab you and throw you to go check in. So I wonder, that's an interesting theory right there of the DGL versus Nico butterfly effect right there.
That was what happened when the walk-ons, when I was playing, and it was the end of the game with the blah, and you're thinking, okay, we might get some playing time late today. And there's like, you know, six of us at the end of the bench, only five of us can play. Or so, you know, when Coach Henson would come down the bench, you would just kind of try to get his look in his face because he was just pointing indiscriminately. I don't think he would have any idea who he was putting in at the time. So you would just try to maybe say, okay, he pointed at me, so I'm going to jump off the bench before somebody else does. But maybe that's what happened with Nico.
I love that. I love that. Well, you mentioned Coach Henson, and Brad Underwood now joins Coach Henson as the only two coaches in Illinois history with 5 straight 20-win seasons. So let's kind of zoom out here. I know we talked about it before you arrived, Tyler, but let's zoom out here a little bit and talk about the significance. Again, guys, we clinched the tournament today. I feel like we're so casual and nonchalant about we essentially clinched the tournament. I know it doesn't feel like that's a big deal, and it shouldn't be a big deal anymore in 2024. But let's not take that for granted, and let's kind of talk about big picture what this means for the program in terms of what we've seen now for the last half decade.
I just tweeted that as well before I hopped in the car that, you know, I always, after what I call the dark ages from 2014 through 2019, or really 2012 before 2019, I always celebrate what I consider lock day. And I would have done this at the Penn State game, but I was angry, among other things, about not being able to say it. But yeah, I tweeted that today was lock day, and it's always a day to celebrate for Illini fans. I know we take things for granted a lot, but today is a happy day. But to your bigger point, yeah, I mean, Brad Underwood said it after the game as well. I mean, he doesn't want to build a team. He wants to build a program, and I think he's done that here. So I have nothing but respect and love for everything that he's done as a coach. You know, I know that, you know, after Wednesday, everyone's ready to bring the knives out. But, I mean, I think there's no question he's built a program here. You see other coaches that were hired, you know, along the same time as him falling by the wayside, and Chris Holtman and Archie Miller, you know, the guys that just, you know, who people thought were maybe the better, the Brad Underwood was the least of those hires. He's now not last at all. He just keeps winning games in the Big Ten. So I do think that, you know, from a program perspective, you got to have some, now the next step is to win some NCAA tournament games. But I think of all the teams we've had, you know, Iowa, Kofi, the one seed, certainly part of that group, but this is a team that can, if they get some, their defensive issues squared up, this is a team that can really, is really built to do permanent damage, I think.
I love that. That was just so level-headed. Again, in the age of the internet and Twitter takes and one loss and one, again, historic collapse on Wednesday, it's all right, I've seen enough, right? That was just, I love it. So level-headed, there's nuance involved there. It was just, hey, he's built a program. He has my utmost love and respect. This was lock day. I love that, Tyler. We need a little bit more just, you know, nuance and level-headed on the internet. I know it's not as sexy as like a one-sided take of get rid of a coach after we lose, but like that's the truth, what you just said right there.
Listen, and it was just funny to us, like when you're like the dark ages, you know, 2014 to 2019, we're like, yeah, that was the years we were in school. Like just, so we can definitely appreciate, like, despite it being like, let's say if you were in 2006 and someone was like, oh, Illinois made the tournament again, like that's not really an accomplishment back then, but when you take it away and you're like, okay, it's important, it's a step that you need to take every single year, like, yes, this season will be defined by the success of whether or not we do well in the tournament, but I would say to grade Brad Underwood, it's like he's brought back consistency to this program. So we the four of us can definitely appreciate that's not an easy task.
Awesome.
Yep. And listen, I was as mad as anybody and frustrated after Wednesday. I mean, I just literally sat and stared at my laptop for like 45 minutes. I just didn't even know how to process it. But I think you made a good point about, you know, trying to be level-headed, because is that an outlier, or is that a trend? You know, that's a 1 in 100 occurrence that happened on Wednesday. And yeah, your defense didn't play well, but if you think about, you know, I try to keep a big picture view of the entire season and understand the defense has struggled. But if I go back to the last month or so of games, with the exception of the last, you know, 5 minutes against Nebraska, the last 5 minutes against Michigan State, and the last minute, we'll say, against Penn State, it's just been a really solid basketball team.
Tyler, you're going in
Tyler,
and out.
Tyler, you cut out there. I'm just going to assume. I'm going to – you cut out there, Tyler. I'm just going to assume that you said that we are just going to not lose another game and win the national championship. Can you just kind of if that is not what you were saying at the last minute when you cut out, can you clarify real quick?
I was just saying that I know there's been a lot of angst over the recent collapses, we'll say, but if you look at the last month of the season, with the exception of maybe 5 minutes against Nebraska, which they won, 5 minutes at Michigan State, and a minute at Penn State, this has been a really solid basketball team. And I'll take that moving forward from a big picture point of view, because I remain really bullish on this team. Because for the most part, this has been a solid basketball team ever since mid-January.
Yeah. I think I'm warped in like my mindset of like always being on Twitter, talking to friends, and where we don't have maybe the basketball knowledge of, or not, or maybe just like the level-headedness as Maddie has been saying, but like hearing between what you just said there, Tyler, as well as I think John Gassaway on Robert's podcast from earlier in the week, I think I'm too immature to like, I let losses mean a lot more than they probably should in my head, because everyone's still seeing a good basketball team that there's been definitely like noticeable issues on defense, but like we are still putting up between at least 80 points a game, and we're in the 90s often, which is very rare for Illinois basketball and also very rare for just college basketball.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's hard because, yes, Twitter is not real, yet sometimes we treat Twitter as the real thing when that is almost like a coping strategy for when I'm sad. I'm like, let's just see how other sad Illinois fans are reacting, because they probably also have things to say. And then we just use, you know, insane adjectives like, you know, wasted season or like a waste of a year. And it's just like, I get it. You're angry. You're upset. You're pissed off. Like, you're emotional. I get it. And I love that. And I love Illinois fans because we care so much about our team, but I think it's sometimes so hard to not kind of hook on to those takes of, oh my gosh, wasted season. What? And what you're saying, Tyler, is no, like that does not define, 1 minute does not define the entire season. There are a lot of other minutes that do a way better job of defining the season. But yeah, I think we have to remind ourselves that Twitter is not a real place, and that it is, I mean, it's just a cesspool for anything that you want to find in terms of your sports team, whether any take you can find on Twitter. So I think it's hard for us sometimes to not live in those spaces.
Agreed. But I don't think it's about basketball knowledge. It's just, you know, that you say, well, I don't even have the basketball knowledge. I don't think it's even that. It's, you know, having some perspective on you. I mean, we've all watched basketball games where you're down 12 points in the second half. It doesn't even matter for the team you follow. And teams come back from 12 points down all the time to win games. But in the moment, you're like, oh my God, 12 points, game's over. And I think people take that to and apply that to a whole season. You have one terrible stretch and people think, oh my God, like you said, wasted season. And it becomes kind of a group think, and you just kind of have to learn, you know, try to separate from that. But again, I was as mad as anybody in the moment, but you know, I will say this. I'm really glad that there was only a 2-day turnaround before the next game, because that's the one thing you don't want to do is sit on that loss for a week or something. So I think it was fortunate that you got to come home and get right in such a quick turnaround and flush that Wednesday night debacle.
Absolutely.
Thank you for acknowledging that I might know ball, but I know it at a much lesser of a lesser of a ball knowledger than you.
Ball knowledger. Ball knower.
Ball knower.
Yeah, like to Tyler's point, like if you look at us in KenPom, like we started the month 10th, we are now 11th in KenPom. Like in the fluctuation has been like 10, 9, 11, 8, 9, 12, 11. Like the analytics say that like this team is pretty similar. When you like, you lose a 1-point game to Penn State, you lose like the Michigan State game, you were up, I don't know, 7 points with 6 minutes left. Like you've been in every single game. And sometimes we let the win-loss results almost like dictate too much of like the quality of this team. And like, I think the issue is that we might not have a top 12 resume in the country, but like all of the advanced stats say we're a top 12 team. So we get a little bit anxious because we want a top 12 seed and an easy path and a way to make the Sweet 16. But like all of the numbers say that like we haven't scored less than 80 points in over a month. Like the last time we're going to play on February 28th against Minnesota. And the last time we scored less than 80 points was January 27th. So it'll be a full month. Like, that's how good this offense has been.
I mean, people need to step up and understand this is a historically good Illinois offense. It's every bit as efficient as any offense you want to put it up.
Oh, Tyler, you cut out again. But what I'm going to
call the I-57 hotspot.
This is the yes. Yeah. But I'm going to assume that you're saying that it's going to go right up against the 2005 offense. Is that what you were alluding to, Tyler?
I would say it's a historically good offense in my lifetime. You know, you're going to put up. It's going to be up there with the key of the season with 2005, 2021, and 1989 as far as best offenses I've ever seen as an Illinois fan.
Thank you. Yes. Piatone's. Isn't there that outage, Josh, around the Piatone, yeah, right when you get north of Mantino there? That there's that outage there of Wi-Fi.
But it sounds like
I'm coming up to the Paxton rest area. That's kind of where I am.
Oh, got it. I love that. Love that stop. Love that.
So it sounds like. Would you say that I'm starting to think Gross had more of an offensive game plan than Underwood?
I knew you were going to read that text.
One of our buddies texted that. We Johnny went back. I actually did the same thing. I just didn't want to give him this knowledge, but Gross's best Ken Pom ranked offense in his tenure was ranked 46. His next best, 91.
Yeah.
That's Sally, you know. Yeah, it's not even
we say that, and we're speaking stuff into existence because Akron is pretty good this year. You know, they're probably going to be a 12, 13 seed kind of team. And of course, if we're a 5 or a 4, whatever, you know that narrative of the John Gross versus Illinois is going to happen. It's going to make us all uncomfortable and queasy.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine that? Like time period between Sunday night and Thursday afternoon in which we just have to think about that matchup if we were playing them. Like I would just go through iteration after iteration and just ruminate that on that. I mean, I'd love to play them. Like if they're a 14 seed and that means we're like a 3 seed, like I would love that. I know Johnny would say, feed me John Gross. I know he would say, feed me Akron. But I would be tweaking for 96 hours about that matchup, just because it's John Gross.
Yep. And again, I like John Gross. I mean, he was great as a coach. He was great in the press room. But I'm absolutely rooting against them in their conference tournament because I don't want them to even stick our side of the bracket. Just because I hate narratives. Just give me a random first round matchup. You know, I don't want any narrative like the whole Loyola thing.
Ugh.
Gross.
See, I would rather play them than like a McNeese State, though. Like, amongst the narratives, give me a guy who I've seen year in, year out, just get outcoached by the rest of the Big Ten. Like, that's fine with me.
That's fair enough. I get that point. That's the man way to look at it. Because I'm just like, I'm shrinking from the moment with this thing. You know, just don't. I don't want narratives. Oh, please. So, I appreciate that take better than mine.
So we turn our attention now to Wednesday night, Minnesota, and I'm going to kind of pull a Josh when it came to when we talked about before Penn State and say, I don't know anything about Minnesota. I know that they're probably a lot better than they've been in the last 2 years. So is this a trap game, Tyler, or is this just a game we should just generally be worried about because Minnesota is just actually about an average Big Ten team? Or how should I feel Tuesday night and Wednesday morning as we look forward now to next week?
They will try to muck the game up. They don't score the ball that well. It's going to be, I mean, if you're looking for a candidate for a game where we don't score 80 points, it would be this one. They're going to try to slow it down. They have a lot of size, which again, I think plays into our favor. Not that they're not good as far as low post scoring necessarily, but they have a lot of size. So they rebound the ball well, which, you know, that's one of our strengths. I think that kind of, they cancel each other out. And I think, you know, at home, and it's the better offensive talent wins out in that game, but I wouldn't call it a trap game. But it's not going to be. I mean, Minnesota's pretty good. I don't think they're as good as Iowa. I think it's a game you can handle. You can handle your business, but it's not going to be a trap game like it was today.
Maybe an opportunity to host up some defense for the first time in a couple of games here. That'd be nice. Let's just get like a game in like the 50s and the 60s. That feels nice. If we could maybe play some defense here.
How about a game where we score in the 80s and the other team scores in the 50s?
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with an 8X, 5X. That would be wonderful. That'd be fantastic. Yep. Excellent. Tyler, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. You know, you're multitasking here, driving, and giving us your insight. We definitely would like to have you on more as we get down the stretch here. We appreciate your insight, as always. Anything else, Tyler? We want to give you the last word here. Anything else after a nice little rebound win?
Today was a huge bounce back. I mean, it was such a necessary win, and it was, you know, kind of queasy, like we talked about in the second half, where Brad had to push out his starters. But that's a team that showed its maturity and closed out a good Iowa team, that, you know, kind of sniffing around the NCAA tournament. So just necessary bounce back win after Wednesday night's issues, and just really thrilled with the effort, and really, really happy to talk with you guys again. It's been way too long, like you said.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We appreciate you joining us here on Clinch Day.
Lock Day.
Everyone gets to have a drink after Lock Day. Them's the rules. So yeah, maybe wait till you're done driving, tough. we appreciate everybody listening to our episode and all of them. We'll hopefully catch you next week on another episode of The Boardroom. Thanks for listening, everyone. ILL.